learning anything? Well, you can always write down a little sentence or two of a testimony. I can maybe put it in my newsletter or something. By the way, if anybody would like to get my newsletter, I have a partnership card, and I also send out an encouraging word. I try to do that every month. But it's good to be in partnership with people, and because it's two-sided, because I pray for my partners every day. So it's not just a one-sided thing. It's two-sided. And actually, I have a QR code on the back table. If you want to be a partnership, you can just, I guess, scan these little QR codes and just donate a dollar. You're in there, whatever you want to do. But I noticed not too many people are going to the book table, the product table, the tool table. You know, I didn't learn these things without tools. And so I want to encourage you. Those are tools that will really help you in your faith. Help you in your faith. And my daily delight in the Lord and reading the book on my three miracles and guidelines praying for the sick. You'll find things out about your own self when you read some of these things. This is another card that I have out there. It's how many know the battle is the Lord's? We all got a lot of battles we go through. And so I have this little card. It fits perfect in your Bible, but it says, "Therefore, Lord, you deliver me from the snare of the fowler. You deliver me from unreasonable attacks. You break down the wall of separation. You laugh at the plots of the wicked. You give me wisdom and knowledge. You enlighten my understanding. You make a way in the wilderness. You make the crooked places straight. Lord, you multiply my seed sown. You rebuke the devourer for me." It goes on, all that he does. "And therefore, in return, I shall enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise." Do you know that thanksgiving and praise is the highest form of prayer that you can pray? And so I have here some praise scriptures, but it's just an excellent little tool that fits right into your Bible. I have so many stories. You haven't heard all my stories. My three healing testimonies, they're in his own book, My Three Miracles. But this one, I wrote it as a legacy for my children. But people say, "I love your stories. I'd love to, you should put it in a book." So I did put it in a book, but I broke it down into sections. One section is all about my parents, about going to Sunday school when I was a child, about my family, about how I got born again. I got called into the ministry when I was 8 years old. All those stories are in here. Matter of fact, I had one lady tell me that she's been reading to her little children all these childhood stories. And then I have a section in there when I was when I went into full-time ministry. Another one was heartwarming encounters. My Hallmark Christmas. I have one story in there about an obscene phone caller. You'll like that story. A challenge for Joey. Then I've got all my angel stories. My grandchildren love the one about the helicopter story. I was visiting a friend of mine. She lived about 2 hours away, and she kept saying, "Stay longer, stay longer, stay longer." I said, "Well, now I need to get home. It's Saturday night. I wanted to get home before dark, but now it's dark." And so I had to take the toll road home to get from her house. But I thought, I'm running late. I know I can take a shortcut. If I get off the toll road at this certain road, I can take the country road home and get home quicker. So I got off the toll road, which was all lit up, got on that country road, and I thought, "Oh, probably not the wisest decision. I'm all by myself on this 2 mile dark country road." And so I said to the Lord, "Lord, it is really dark out here." Instantly, a helicopter appeared over my car and hovered over my car, turned on the spotlight, and stayed there till I got all the way through the country road. And the Bible says, and I think it's in the Amplified in Psalms 91, it's a companion on your journey. And I had an angel helicopter on my companion. But I have other stories where an angel saved my life. And when I was in Africa, I'd been out there for a whole month preaching. And when you're in Africa, they make you preach from sun up to sundown. And we were preaching all day long. But now we had to get back to Nairobi because we had to fly home the next day. And the pastor was bringing us to Nairobi, and we got in a car accident. We got hit by a drunk driver, and we weren't hurt, but the car was just too damaged to drive. And I was with one of my friends, well, two of the friends from my team, a girl and a guy. So the guy had to stay and help the pastor move his car someplace. And the pastor told my friend and I, he says, "Now you girls need to get to that hotel as fast as you can do, because it's dark. It's very dangerous for women to be walking in the dark in Nairobi, you're making the wrong statement. He says, walk as fast as you can. So we're walking, and there was a lot of brush along the side of the road. And so we're walking at a pretty good pace, but then we heard some footsteps. And I thought, well, let's don't turn around. Let's just pick up the pace. So we walked a little bit faster, and the footsteps were walking faster. So we got to the corner. I said, you know, we need to make a run for it. And so we looked. We both looked, and there's no cars coming. I said, okay, let's run for it. So we grabbed hands, and we ran out into the street. They have a lot of one-way streets, but we had looked the wrong way. We ran out in the street, and I heard that car squeal. And I just turned my head as that car was sideways, now just ready to hit me, when a giant hand of an angel swept down and went, whew, picked both of us up in one hand, up over the car and onto the curb. And later on, I thought, you ever see the movie King Kong when he picked up Jane? That was like, I mean, here, two of us in this one giant hand just whoosh, picked us up and took us over on the other side. But there's powerful stories in here that, even that story that I shared with you last night about being threatened, being killed, those are, some of the other people are teaching their older kids to read all these stories, just read them, because God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. So getting back to the word, Lord, we just thank you for your word today. Just thank you, Father God, that hearts are being touched and changed and transformed. And that when they leave today, they won't just say, well, that was a good message. That was a fun day. No, let them take it home in their heart, Father God, that it'll make a difference. So, you know, the Bible says all things are possible with God. But the things that are possible for you and me is solely based upon our capacity to believe truth. So, Father, we choose to believe truth in Jesus' name. So, how can I say I'm healed when my body says I'm sick? It is written. I is healed. It is written. Amen. So, you got to get a revelation of that. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 8, verse 32. John 8, 32. You shall know the facts, and the facts will set you free. Huh, whoops, I missed that, didn't I? You shall know the truth. The facts will never set you free. It's the truth that will, it doesn't just set you free, it makes you free. The truth shall make you free. Not Mr. Google. In Colossians, and I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Pretty soon I'm going to promote my three helpers like I said I would. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. What's the next word? Richly. The word richly is very important because it is telling us what level to have the word dwelling in us. Let the word of Christ, or you could say let the word of truth, dwell in you on a rich level. If the word is in you on a rich level, you will get rich level results. If the word is in you on a low level, you're going to get low level results. Even medium level results. The Lord specifically said, let it get in you on a rich level so you can have rich level results, because the word is infused with God himself. He is the healer. He is the medicine. You know, living in California, we have earthquakes from time to time. And we have tall buildings in San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego. And when they built those tall buildings, they made them as earthquake-proof as they could. And do you know when they did it? Before the earthquake, not in the middle of the earthquake. That's why the tool table is out there. You know, you don't want to wait till you're sick to learn about healing. Amen. The wise man, he built his house upon the rock when? Before the storm. Now, I've been to Africa, like I said, I've been to Africa a number of times, and I've usually always stay in lion territory. I had to sleep in a tent in lion territory. Now, that was not my favorite hotel at all. But I have been very close to the lions, to the cheetahs. I was as close to for David Clarer and myself. I was this close to a cheetah that had just finished killing a Thompson gazelle and blood coming out of its mouth. And we thought, okay, enjoy your dinner. But I've seen the lions when they kill a prey. Do you know what kind of prey they look for? Yeah, a weak prey. Why? Because they know it's very easy to devour a weak prey. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, the devil goes around. What does he look like? He's going around as a roaring lion. And he is looking for Christians who have the word in them on a low, weak level. Because he says, oh, I can devour those Christians. Christians. Not talking about unsaved people. Christians. He knows he can devour Christians who, well, they gave up on the fight. They got knocked over when the vest was on. Didn't work. Faith didn't work. They gave up. Well, they're going to be devoured. You have to fight. It says, fight the good fight of faith. You know what the fight is? That you don't give up on your faith. That's what the fight is. It's to fight the good fight of faith, that you don't give up on your faith, that you don't cast away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward, that after you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise, but the just must live by faith. You have to live it. You have to breathe it. And when you get weak, you just build yourself up. What does it say in Jude 20? Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It builds you up. Yes, you're going to feel those moments where you feel weak. It's not going to work. It does work. You have to keep working it. And there's things that you can do. And what else, you know, sometimes people say, well, I know so-and-so are in faith and they died. Well, I've got a whole message on that. And maybe I can share it with somebody later on. But it's very powerful. It's very powerful. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. But the words, the Lord is saying, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But sometimes we treat the word of God like it was a magic potion. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm healed, I'm healed. You're not even looking at the word. You're missing step one of those instructions. You've got to keep it before your eyes because something can jump off that you didn't see before. So the eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate is all so critical to follow the instructions because then it gets into your heart. Then it becomes a part of you, just like those multiplication tables did. You did that on biblical principles. Take your healing the same way, the same way. It's not a magic potion. You can't use it flippantly. It is the truth of God's word that heals, changes, transforms. Sweeter than the honeycomb. Amen. The only way that you're going to speak the word of God from your spirit is by you putting it in there on a rich level. You have to put it in there on a rich level. And when you least expect it, whew, it'll come right out. It'll come right up. But you got to get it in there on that rich, rich level. You know, we have natural laws and we have spiritual laws. And we have the law of gravity. And we have the law of lift. The law of lift, or we could say the law of aerodynamics, overrides the law of gravity. It supersedes gravity. That is why airplanes can fly. They could not fly without the law of aerodynamics that overrides gravity. And when they build airplanes, they're very particular on the size of wings that they put on an airplane. They can't put tiny wings on a big 747. It would be off balance. And they can't take big wings and put it on a little Piper cup. It's off balance. They can't fly if it isn't balanced properly. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Science says that chubby little bumblebee has got the wrong size wings. Science has said it should be impossible for a bumblebee to fly because he's got a chubby body and he's got tiny wings. But like God did with all creation, he probably held that little bumblebee in the palm of his hand and says, "Bumblebee, I made you good. Now you fly, baby, fly." And that little bumblebee believed the report of the Lord. And to this day, it is still doing what science... How can it do it? It's impossible. All things are possible with God. And he shows it to you every day. You see that little bumblebee? Remind yourself, I can do it too. I can do it too. Amen. All things are subject to change with truth. You know, it's what you say at midnight when you're all alone. Pain, your body begins to scream out in pain. Fear wants to grip you. That's where you're going to win or lose the battle, right then, right there. That's why you better have it in you on a rich level. Pastor's on vacation, nobody else is home. That's where you're going to win or lose the battle, midnight. And midnight may not always be 12 o'clock midnight. It could be midnight at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That could be your midnight hour, right then, right then, right then. You better have it in you right then, right then. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, and not before, but then you will have good success. You will prosper, but not a minute before." Not a minute before. I'm going to ask my three helpers to come up here. Hallelujah. The ones that I chose after I knew they would volunteer. Jerry, Frank, Greg, thank you so much. I'll let you come over here and stand over here. Aren't they great? Yeah. Hallelujah. So good, so good, so good, so good. Okay. I am going to promote you. Fear not. Only believe. Oh, it's okay. We'll switch. Got a new body. Well, we know that we are a spirit being. We have a soul and we live in a body. Now, let's just imagine that you're going to go to the doctor for a physical examination. Physical. Which one is going to get the physical examination? This one, this one, this one. Physical. Could be on the outside, could be on the inside. Only this gets a physical examination from the doctor. Amen? We all agree on that? So let's just say the doctor says, "Well, I am sorry, but Jerry, I'm sorry to tell you, but you," where's you? Uh-huh, you. The doctor said, "You have," we'll say, "COVID." Well, which one is you? Is that you? No, that's you. Can you have COVID? No. Cancer? No. Allergies? No. Diabetes? No. He said you. Only because he's trained to talk. He's thinking differently. So he says you. If your mind, which is right here, if your mind is not renewed to the Word of God, and the doctor says you have 6 months to live, you have this, you have that. He says you. If your mind is not renewed, fear is going to grip you. Yeah. And you're going to say, "Oh, Pastor, pray for me. I have, I have, I have." You just took ownership of something that didn't belong to you. Mark 11:23, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, does not doubt in his heart, but believe, he will have whatever he says." You will snare yourself with the words of your mouth. He said you. Now, you go to church on Sunday, you hear the word of God, hallelujah, praise God, I'm the healed of the Lord. Monday morning, you go to the doctor, he says you got cancer. Oh, now fear grips you. This is where real warfare is between the spirit and the soul. Your spirit man says, "God said," but the soul says, "Yeah, but," "Yeah, but," "God said," "Yeah, but I don't feel good." But it is, yeah, but the doctor said, yeah, but God, yeah, but God. There's no yeah, buts in the book.
Amen.
This is where you will lose the battle right there if your mind is not renewed. It will argue, that is the biggest battlefield you will ever have is in your mind.
Right.
It's in the mind. As a, like I said in the very beginning, as a man thinketh, so is he. You can rightly divide the word of truth or you can wrongly divide it. So important that when he says you, you know. It's just like say you have you take your car to a mechanic and he said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but you need a new transmission. You think, I didn't know I had one. Where is my transmission? You know, you panic. I need a new transmission. Or, you know, in California, every 2 years we have to have our house checked for termites. The termite inspector in Maryland, sorry to tell you, you have termites, I think. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Now, he knows that I know he's talking about this house having termites. This house has termites, not me. So when he says, I have termites, or I need a new transmission, or he says, you have COVID or something, don't take it personally.
Amen.
Don't take that personally. He said, you have termites. I didn't take that personally. You need a new transmission. I didn't take that personally. If he says, you got cancer, don't take it personally because you don't have it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It does not belong to you. You know, prayer, when we pray, our prayers go in one of two directions. Now stay here, I'm going to promote you. I'm going to promote you. Don't leave, Jerry. I'm going to promote you. Pay attention. when we pray, our prayers go in one of two directions. We're either asking Jesus to do something he's already done. Calvary was so well done in one act, it need never to be repeated. And you can cry and beg all you want. Jesus, heal me, heal me. Nothing is going to happen. He will never have to do that again. You're asking him to do something, it's already been checked off the list. Or you're asking him to do something he told you to do. He told you to do. Uh-huh. Big difference. Big difference. Well, we're going to role play. You are going to get to be Jesus after the cross. That's incredible. That's very good. The Holy Ghost. Greg, you can be the Holy Ghost. Jerry, God. But just for a few minutes, it's just going to be God. You get to be God. Aren't you glad you didn't walk away? God. Now, I will be the devil because I don't like people to volunteer to be the devil. So now, the devil, let's just say the devil attacks you with sickness. You know, I need another person, actually. You knew I would call you. I almost forgot my other person. I need you up here. I'm sorry, what is your name?
Linda.
Perfect, perfect, Linda. I'm going to have you stand right here in front of these super guys. So one day, Linda, her mind is not renewed to the word of God. And the devil attacks her with sickness and disease. And she's crying and she's begging. Nothing is happening. She prays to Jesus, but nothing is happening. Jesus, heal me, heal me, heal me. Nothing happens. The whole church is praying, but she's getting worse and worse. Nothing happens. Because he's already done all he's going to do.
Right.
So one day, stand back over here. The eyes of understanding are enlightened to the word of God. And Jesus says, behold, Linda, I have given you authority to trample on serpents, on scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. So now she faces the devil. She faces that infirmity, and she takes authority over that infirmity. And look what happens to her. You don't mind if they put their hands on your shoulders, do you?
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay, Holy Spirit, put your hands on her shoulder. The Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all the truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but he will only speak what he heard the Father tell him to say. And he is her helper. He's the helper. So the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of her. Now, a moment ago, she's crying and begging, but she was still born again, wasn't she?
Yeah.
But living, saved, filled, and defeated. Saved, filled, and defeated. But now she takes her authority. She's a doer of the word. The Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of her is her helper. He is going to help her to not get weary in the battle. Do not cast away your confidence. She's praying in the Holy Ghost. He is building herself up so that she will not give up the fight. He is there. His whole assignment was to not be in heaven, but to be inside of her. And every time she activates the word, he is activated.
Hallelujah.
He is her helper. Look what else happens to Linda. Jesus also put both your hands on her shoulder. The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for Linda. You know, I think sometimes we forget that Jesus is praying for us every day. Is that not awesome? I don't know what he's praying, but you can be sure he's got all the bases covered. He's got all the bases covered. So Jesus is interceding for her. Look what else happens. God, you put both your hands on her shoulder. The Bible says that God looks over the words that Linda spoke from her spirit, not her head, from her spirit, because it was in a rich level. God looks over the words that she spoke and he performs the word. Now, a moment ago, you looked at Linda and she was defeated. You look at her now, all of heaven backs her up. All of heaven backs her up. When she took authority over the devil did not see flesh and blood. The devil sees a spirit. You can hold that. A spirit of light, force, authority. He sees the whole armor of God. He sees the shield of faith. When she takes her authority, it is written. It is written. He has to flee. It is not an option. It is not an option. But you've got to stay anchored when those symptoms get worse. Fear wants to grip you. You cannot stop. Use your helper. Pray in the Holy Ghost over and over and over and over and over. Does this help you today?
Amen, amen.
You like your promotion?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to share a couple. You want me to share that testimony about Morocco, Africa?
That was a good one.
Was it? Okay. I was telling them that one year I was preaching in Spain, and the missionaries over there, it was time for them to leave the country. They have to update their visas and their passport information when they live in another country. And the closest place for them to go was Morocco, Africa. And they asked if I would go with them because they'd never been to Africa. So we got on the boat. And we walked through the terminal when we got to Morocco. And as soon as we got outside, we were bombarded by, I don't remember, it was four or five very, very angry, mean Muslim men. And they walked right up into our face. And they said, if you say one nice word about the Jews, we're going to kill you right here on the spot. Hello, Morocco. I just kind of turned to my friends. And I said, we have to go back in the terminal. So we just backed up and we went into the terminal. And it was my friend and her husband. And I said, we have to go in the restroom and take our money and take our passports and put it inside our undergarments. We had our carry-on luggage. We were headed for Casablanca. But I said, they can steal our luggage, but we cannot let them steal our passport or our money. So we did that. We're getting ready to go back outside. And I said, now, if those men are still there, do not make eye contact. Do not say one word and do not show fear. So we went out there and boom, there they were, threatened to kill us. And they harassed us for over 5 hours. We tried everything to get rid of them. We would go into one hotel, but that didn't work. We got into a taxi driver, that didn't. We couldn't get rid of them. And finally, my friend, I could tell her husband, he's okay, that's it, I've had it. He's gonna do something. I thought, oh, I know he wouldn't know how to handle this. And I said, you know, I'm just gonna take authority over this. And my friend, she said, well, Marilyn, she whispers, please don't use the name of Jesus. And I said, well, there's no power in the name of Marilyn. I looked at her, I says, that is our power. I said, I am going to use the name of Jesus. Now, I knew these men were not going to like that. So now I made eye contact with every one of them. And then I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I take authority over you and I command you to leave us alone right now. Now, do you think they apologized? No. They really got mad. See, the devil, you take authority over the devil, he's not going to apologize. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give you cancer or cold. If I'd have known you didn't want that, we are so sorry. We would never have done that. No, the devil does not apologize. So they got so angry, super angry, that two of them took a step forward. We were very close. Two of them took a step forward, pressed his body next to my body. The other one took his body, and they are pushing their bodies like this, and their faces right here, and they are saying horrible things to me, just squeezing and threatening me. I started laughing on the inside. I thought, if you're mad now, boy, you're not going to like what I'm going to do next. I thought, I'm going to sing and worship about the blood of Jesus. And they didn't take my, I said, well, holding on my carry-on luggage, but I wanted to lift up one holy hand. I had to squeeze my hand to get, because that man was pressing his body on my body so tight. I got my hand up here and I thought, I just made up a song. I thought, I'm going to sing about the blood. And I'm going to walk forward. And they're either getting out of my way or they're walking backwards, but I'm coming through. And I'm not going to stop singing till they're gone. And so I just made up a song. Lord, and I'm shouting it too. Lord, I thank you for your blood. Lord, I thank you for the blood. And I'm walking, Lord, and I'm not even paying attention. Thank you for the blood. And I must have walked the distance of about 3 city blocks. I thought, I'm not stopping. And finally, they all fled. You know, the Bible says they will flee in terror. Well, I watched them. They ran across the road and they were jumping up and down. So frustrated, they just got defeated. And I had shared that testimony a few years later with some at a church, and this one lady came up to me afterwards. She says, well, why'd you wait 5 hours to do that? Well, I don't know how you'd have handled it, but that's how I handled it. And I said, to me, you always got somebody's going to, you know. And I said, for me, it was wisdom. Because we walked right in the middle of the enemy's camp. He went out on our territory. Unbeknownst, we walked smack dab into hell's territory. But I knew we still have authority. But I told her, I says, you never take step one if you're not ready to go the full 9 yards, because the devil doesn't back down after step one. He comes back even harder, and it's the same way with sickness. You take your authority, boom, he'll give you another symptom. I mean, because he's waiting to see what level. When he finds out that your level's up here, he's gone. He'll go pick on somebody else that has the level down here. It really matters. So on one of my trips to Africa, I'm usually over there for a month working medical clinics and doing evangelism. And of course, you always take extra medication if you're working with a medical clinic, because you're exposed to a lot of filth and germs. And matter of fact, over 100 people had died of cholera right where I was working. My job was to assist the dentist. And matter of fact, I have no medical skills. I thought, well, that's why I can help pass out some. Doctor, you want some water? You want me to hand you this or towel or something? I can do that, but then I can do the evangelistic part. But I was assigned to help the dentist, and he had over 700 extractions a day. We had thousands and thousands. I mean, the line, you couldn't even see the end of the line that people came all the way down from Ethiopia. I mean, we're out in the bush. We're not in Nairobi. We are in the bush. And the dentist said, oh, I've got to take a break. So, Marilyn, somebody has to pull teeth. I said, oh, no. I know nothing about pulling teeth. He said, but they don't know that. He says, they don't know that you don't know what you're doing. So I'll talk to you. He talked me through. I had two patients. And, you know, I was so aware of the anointing as I was pulling these teeth. And then some lady came in, and she's in labor. I went to, doctor, she's about to have a baby. Marilyn, you have to deliver. I said, oh, no. I thought about the moon. Scarlet, honey, I know nothing about birthing no babies. Scarlet. He said, well, you do today. And I thought, I had to deliver. I mean, I pulled teeth. I was a midwife. And when that little baby was born, it was so precious. I just, without even thinking, I wrapped him up in one of our disposable gowns, and I just lifted him up, and I dedicated him to the Lord, and I heard her whisper, Jacob, Jacob. She named him Jacob. And we're way out on the bush, and I was hoping to see her the next day because we're there for a month, but they're all gone. They don't live. I mean, it's not a clinic. We just have a little building here that we're helping. No water, no electricity. And I thought, oh, I would have liked to have seen her today. But then about halfway through the day, one of the natives came up and he's pulling on my shirt. And I thought, I knew by the Holy Spirit, he's going to take me to see that lady. So I went to the team leader and I said, can I have permission to leave? I just told her what I felt. And she said, yeah, we trust you. So I'm going down this dirt road where he's taken me, and we came to her house. Her house was a cluster of bushes. Small cluster, maybe not wider than this aisle. And she had a little roof over it, and then there was just an opening, and she's sitting there on the floor, holding little Jacob in her hands, invited me to her home to see the baby. And my translator wasn't there, but without a word being spoken, we just made eye contact, and if I ever had a Hallmark moment, it was right then, that to be so humble, to go to her home to thank me for helping deliver her little baby. But you know, if you just obey God, you have no idea how he can use you and what he'll do through you. But I never dreamt I'd be pulling teeth, delivering babies, being in the bush of Africa, you know, all these things that I'd done. But anyway, you're always taking extra medication when you're over there because of all the disease and everything, and including the preventative for malaria, which I was doing that. But I was being bitten by mosquitoes, but mosquitoes do carry the malaria. And malaria destroys your liver, your kidneys, your spleen, destroys your blood. You're very nauseated, and you have a very high fever. But everything's going good. I flew home. My son picked me up at the airport. I was home maybe 3 hours, and boom. I thought, oh, suddenly I had a fever. I felt very nauseated, and I knew the symptoms of malaria. That was on Saturday, so I called the doctor Sunday, and he said, well, there's nothing I can do for you today, but if you were on the preventative, you probably are okay. He said, but go to a clinic first thing Monday morning. So there was a clinic near my house. So I went there because I was feeling still really bad. And I said, I was already on the preventative, but I know if you'll give me more chloroquine, I can double up and nip it in the bud. He said, no, I'm not going to give you more. He said, you were already on the preventative, so you don't have malaria. It's probably just extra fatigue. And I said, but it doesn't bother. He said, I know it won't hurt you, but you don't need it. I said, if you just give it to me, it won't hurt. I can just double up. And no, you don't have it. He said, I'll just do a blood test. Well, I didn't know at that moment that he didn't know anything about malaria. But I didn't know that. So he did the blood test. And so on Tuesday, I call to see, did you get the results? Thinking you're going to put this through stat because malaria can kill you so quickly. No, I don't have it back yet. And I thought, oh, I must have called too early. So I called later in the day. No, I don't have it yet. And I thought, that seems strange. So now I'm getting worse. So the next day I called. I said, well, I just wanted to check on the blood test. He says, we don't have it yet. I'll call you. Don't keep calling. I said, hey, I'll call if I want to call. You know, he said, well, we don't have the blood test back. And I realized he didn't run a stat, but, you know, I'm getting worse and worse. And my fever was 104. You don't think real clearly. You might think, well, stupid, why don't you go someplace else? I'm not thinking clearly. So the next morning I woke up, little over 104. By now, my body was all swollen. I had turned completely yellow because my liver and my kidneys are being destroyed. Very, very sick. I called my friend. I said, get me to the doctor. I couldn't even get dressed. I went to the doctor's office with my robe and my slippers. I looked like a bumblebee. I'm all swollen and yellow. And I walked in and the nurse said, get her out of here before she scares people. I thought, oh, thank you. You know, you look terrible. Get over there. So the doctor came in, he goes, oh, wow, he said, you're really yellow. He said, my eyes were yellow, my mouth was yellow. I was yellow inside and out. And he said, wonder what's wrong with you? And he said, maybe you have hepatitis, but we don't know. We don't have the blood. Don't you worry about a thing. You just go back home. Didn't even give me an aspirin. And my friend, why didn't you take me to the hospital? But she didn't. She took me home. The next morning, real early, I get a phone call from the doctor. We are sending an ambulance to your house. I got the blood test back, and I've already contacted a disease specialist at the hospital. He said, not only do you have malaria, you have double malaria. You have two different forms of malaria at the same time. I got to the hospital, and the disease specialist, so kind. He was kind, but he was furious at the same time that other doctor did not. And I know they had words. I know he had words with the other doctor. And he said, it's too late to treat you properly for malaria. Now we need to have quinine. And we don't have any quinine. You're the first patient in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that we've ever had. Here we have the missionary capital of the world. You're the first patient we've ever had with malaria, and you got double malaria. He says, so I've already got a staff of people. This is before the computer. I've got a staff of people calling all around trying to find quinine. It took another day for them to locate and have it shipped in. I was on quinine for 3 days, and I knew it wasn't working myself. They even had medical students observing me because it was such a rare thing, you know. I hated having those men there. I would be sick. Nobody offered me a Kleenex. No one offered me a glass of water. They're just, take no more notes. Oh, please get out of here. But after the third day, the disease specialist came in and he said, I'm really sorry, Marilyn. We just didn't get you in time. And you are dying. And you won't be here by noon. It's morning, and he said, you'll be gone by noon. And if you want to say goodbye to your family, he said, you need to call them now. He said, is there anything you don't understand about now? Well, when you're on your deathbed, there's no volume. You're frail. You can't talk. If you've ever been around someone right before they passed away, there's nothing there. I mean, you can't even hardly lift your arm. And he said, I know you're a Christian, and if you know anybody that prays, prayer is your only hope. And I tried to whisper to tell him I do when they are. And before I went to the hospital, I told my friends, and I didn't call 100 people. You only need 3 or 4 that know how to pray. That's all you need. I didn't need all of every Bible school student in the Rhema to pray for me. And I said, but I only want you, there's one prayer I do not want you to pray. And there's one prayer I do want you to pray. Do not pray and ask Jesus to heal me since it's already been done. Don't waste your energy. I need prayer right now, so don't pray the wrong prayer. Amen. The only prayer I want you to pray is the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3. That I would be strengthened in might by God's Spirit in the inner man. Because I knew if I'm strong in here, I will get the victory out here. Amen. I need the strength here. I even when I went to the hospital, I grabbed two things. I grabbed my toothbrush and I grabbed my cassette player with Brother Hagin's healing tapes. I told the nurse, I don't care if I'm conscious or not, would you keep playing? Because there were a lot of Christian nurses. I said, keep playing that CD because my spirit is alert. I just need to feed my spirit. Just keep praying. Just keep playing it. I will. So I didn't call my family to say I'm going to die. And I fell asleep. And I woke up. I don't know what time it was, but it was dark in the room. It was the middle of the night. And this might sound funny, but it wasn't funny. My first thought was, I'm still alive. I didn't die yet. I'm still alive. And I thought, as long as I have breath, I can fight. I only need one breath to fight. And I said to myself, the devil is going to see me sitting up in this bed. And I took a hold of support bars with my frail body. And let me tell you, if you just make one step to help the Holy Spirit, your helper will be right there with you. And I thought, I'm going to sit up. And when I took a hold of the support bars, it was like the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to help you up. And I just sat straight up in bed. And with a whisper. See, victory is never determined in the volume of your shout. It's here. Here's the victory. Even with a frail whisper. So with a whisper, I took authority over that spirit of malaria. And instantly, it was just like the woman with the issue of blood. She felt in her body, she was healed of that plague. And I thought, oh, I felt all that malaria just come out of me. I thought, praise God, I'm healed. Completely healed. When I was down to hours, just hours. I shouldn't have even been alive at that point. But when you fight, you know, And I can remember right at that same time prior when I was in Africa and I was preaching. It was a large church, all the men on one side, the women on the other. Matter of fact, the pastor said, and I'm just a first-year Rhema student. I hadn't even graduated yet. And it took the pastor an hour to introduce the bishop, but took him an hour to introduce the overseer. And I thought, oh, okay. You know. Finally, they introduced me, and he says to the congregation, well, we have a great evangelist from America. I thought, oh, no, just first-year Rhema student here. First year, I am not an evangelist from America. And then he says, but we know what the Bible says about the women preaching in the church. I thought, now, why would he say that? And then he says, so we will see if she's of God or not. I thought, oh, glory. This is my first preaching in Africa all by myself. And I thought, oh, boy. But praise God, they liked me. But I'm only halfway through the message. And some man, you know, we're in a building where half a roof, you know, no. I mean, you're out there in the bush. We don't have a building like this. And some man comes in the back and he shouted five words. And everybody jumped up. And ran out. I thought, I'd like to shout five words and have this place packed, wouldn't you? And my translator starts to run out, and I grab. I said, wait a minute. What did that man say? He said, the cow fell in the pit. I thought, I had to go out and check on the cow. Cow's important. I understand that, you know. More important than the word. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go see this cow. Everybody else was gone. I went out there and I saw the cow in the pit. Now, he must have walked backwards. There's a point to my story here. He must have walked backwards because he's in the pit, which was as deep as he was when on his back legs and his hoofs are up here and he's trying to get out. That's how deep it was. And you could just see fear in that cow and he's clawing and clawing and clawing. And a couple of the men tried to pull him out and they couldn't pull him out. So one man jumped in the pit, got behind the cow, and began to push as they were pulling. And they got him out of the pit. And I thought, that's exactly what the Holy Ghost does. If you make one effort, he'll push you right out of that pit of your life. But you got to work with him, and you got to work with the Word. You got to work with the word. I just pray that this was a blessing to you today, and be back tomorrow morning. And go to the tool table. Don't leave without something that helps you with your faith. You can listen to the messages over and over and over, but My Three Miracles, The Journey, it's a powerful book. But I start off by talking about you have to have a spirit of faith. The more you're in the Word of God and you develop your faith, you get to the place where the Bible calls it a spirit of faith. You know what a spirit of faith is? It's an attitude that you refuse. It's, I will not be defeated. I will not. It's an attitude. But those tools are so important to you to help you grow. Even instructions from the great physician, you know. But Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you, we worship you, we magnify your holy name. I thank you, Lord, that the word takes deep root into each and every heart. They'll never be the same again. Grant them spiritual enlightenment, Father God, in Jesus' name. And if there's anybody here today, can I pray for the sick? If there's anybody here today, maybe you can't come tomorrow, but you've got pain or sickness in your body and you would like me to pray for you, I'll pray for you right now if you want to come up here really quickly and get in a line. If you want prayer today and you can't come tomorrow, just come up here. Anybody at all, don't hesitate. Because when the anointing's in, and don't ask me out there to pray for you. The anointing is here right now. So if you want prayer, you come up now. Amen. And when you pray, or when I pray, this is not the time for you to pray. This is the time for just you to receive. And you might get a symptom. After I pray for you, you might have a symptom at 3 o'clock today. And you think, well, I guess it didn't work. It works. It works. You give no place to logic and reasoning. The devil will attack you. You give no place to that. Amen. You say, no, it is written. When hands were laid upon me this afternoon, I received my healing, even though you don't feel like it. But, I mean, I'm getting worse and worse and worse with malaria. Did I quit? You don't quit. You don't quit. You just don't quit. So I just want you to close your eyes and focus on how much God loves you. So, Father, I pray for my sister. I pray for healing, wholeness, encouragement.